போச்சே.
ஹலோ
ஏய், ஹலோ,
வணக்கம்.
Who's leading?
You lead lah. Go.
Let's restart.
Hi.
Hi. So even when they repack up, you have clap partner. Like, it's not for motivation.
Yeah, I know. I know.
ஒரு கெஸ்ட்
இருக்காங்க.
So today we have a guest.
I'll be the Malini Michel. Welcome to the show, Malini.
Hello, thank you for having me.
So tell us who's Malini.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, basically, I own Amplified Beauty, which is a skin aesthetic salon. We do laser hair removal. We also do facials, waxing, threading, and all that stuff. And then other than that, I'm also a makeup artist. I've been a makeup artist for the past 15 years. Yeah. So I specialize in bridal makeup for Indian weddings. Yeah.
So Ningandu, you've taken this entrepreneurship journey since a young age.
Very young, yes.
How, what got you into entrepreneurship?
I think basically for me was like, it started when I was doing my O levels, and I was like, you know, you already have to prepare what courses you want to do in poly. And I was like, I was just so not interested in anything. And then I have my parents pressuring me like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Have you decided? Have you decided? And then there was a lot of pressure on me. So I was like, it's very difficult for me to tell them that, actually, I'm not interested in anything. I really didn't know how to do it. I wasn't interested in anything in poly. I think I was already interested in beauty-related stuff. But of course, back then, there was no social media and all that. So exposure was very little. I just know I like to be in the beauty line, but I don't know what I'm going to do. Just like, you know what? Let me just figure it out. So after results, while waiting for O-level results, I got myself a job in a beauty salon. So what I was doing is, I was doing henna, not bridal henna, just simple henna for like Deepali bazaars. And then I learned threading. I kind of picked it up myself. So I was doing that as part of my job as well, working in the salon. And that's where I realized that, okay, I actually like this, and maybe I can own a salon one day. That's how it started. And then it kick-started everything. I went to beauty school. And then I needed a capital to start my business. I was 19 years old. Nobody believed in me. They were like, what rubbish is this? My parents were like, "Enna solre? Onga school ku po." You know, that kind of thing. And I was like, no, let me just do my thing. So I was very rebellious lah back then. Very rebellious. I was just doing my thing. I went to beauty school. Okay, so what happened was, I wanted to get the government funding to do my diploma course. So back then, if you're working in that same line, they will give you like 80% subsidy for your courses. But for me, that was a lot of money. And like I said, my parents were not supportive of this. So I was working in the salon, and then, but the employer kind of played me out lah. Okay, she played me out. She said, I will put for you CPF. She never did. And I didn't know. I was so young. I didn't go and check. I don't even know how to check CPF statements all back then. I was like 17 years old. So I didn't know. Then by the time I went to sign up for the course, I realized that I didn't have anything with my CPF. So they were like, you have to pay everything by yourself. So I was like, ayoyo, you know, that kind of thing. So I remember my grandmother gave me a lump sum of money. She said, okay, now I give you this first, you keep, don't tell anybody. So I put that down as a deposit. Then the rest of the installments I had to pay myself.
Right.
How I was paying for it was 10 to 1, I went for classes every day. After 1 o'clock, I'll carry all my things to school. I'll carry all my, like, my waxing pot, my mani-pedi stuff, and I'll go to school. Then after that, I'll go and see clients at home. Yeah, so I would travel to their homes, and then I was doing house calls like that. Okay, so then I earn all that money. Then I pump into my school, and then I also was learning driving at that time because I know eventually I need a car, right? Eventually, I need to learn how to drive, right? So yeah, then that really kind of motivated me because I thought, you know, I really need to have something substantial, like a place where my clients can come and see me and all that kind of thing. So that was already in my mind, but I just didn't know exactly. I didn't really have an idea because nobody around me was doing that kind of thing. Nobody, none of my friends. Mm. Everybody went to school. Everybody just listened to parents, went to school, which is not a wrong thing. I'm not saying anything against that. But nobody dared to take that different route.
The leap of faith.
Yeah. Yeah, so then after that, okay, so fast forward, I was also doing bridal makeup. So I realized that I was interested in makeup. So I was watching YouTube videos. I fully self-taught myself to learn makeup. And then I started doing personal makeup. And slowly, slowly it branched out to bridal makeup. And that's where the whole, like, that's where you start seeing most of the money and the income. So then with that money, I was able to pump into this side of the aesthetic part of the business. So I kind of juggled like that for a couple of years. And then in between all this, I got married when I was 22. Another thing that I did when I was very young, again, rebelled against everybody. And then got married. And everyone thought it was an arranged marriage, but no, it was my choice. I wanted to get married and have my own place. And so when I bought my own house, I set up one room just for this. Yes, so that's where all my clients used to come and see me. So that was ongoing for about until I started Amplified Beauty. So about 11, 12 years. Years. 11 years I was in that house. And then, yeah, so then I opened Amplified Beauty in Rangoon Road.
Nice.
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's actually a very the model I used for a leap of faith. The decision to make was just a leap of faith.
Yeah, I was just like, you know, just go for it. What did I have to lose? Nothing. I was too young. I wasn't paying any bills at that time, you know, other than looking after myself.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, hey, let's just do it.
That's kind of unique.
Yeah. So to go back at that point, right? And the number society, like Singapore, and we are like always ingrained into thinking like a school, you go
poly,
then only you start your career. So but there are a few people who like take a leap of faith. But and the leap of faith upon really, like, were you celebrate, like, if you were to tell me at that age, I would have been very scared to do it. So for me, my dilemma was, should I go to LaSalle? Other way, I go to Bayaman because that's like, it was like a leap of faith to go there compared to the conventional school. But ungalukku, when you were trying to start a business or all that, was it something like a fear you had to overcome, or ungalukku uridha theriyuma that you, this is what you wanted to try and do?
No, I just knew it because I was really working in the salon. So I really had that exposure. Then I realized I can handle, and I was the only staff. And it's not like it was a very a famous salon or anything like that. There wasn't a lot of clients on a daily basis there. So it was a very small scale salon.
So
I realized that I can actually handle all this myself. So why not actually put it into my own business instead of working so hard for someone else? Why can't I just do it myself? That was my mindset back then.
But then previously, adhukku munnala vandhu, did you have any aspirations to be something else other than makeup?
Yeah, when I was in primary school, I thought I would be a teacher.
Okay.
I don't know. I just thought I would be a teacher, you know? Yeah. So along the way, when I was like doing makeup, I mean, I still am. I also did like master classes. So that was also kind of like me teaching people. So I did a couple of master classes, sari tying classes. So all that I did,
So you get to leave out
This
is where like entrepreneurship takes you. It takes you on, it opens multiple doors. It opens multiple opportunities.
100%. Correct. I think a lot of people are very focused on just the money making part of it. Like even when you're young, okay, when people talk to you about careers, like in secondary school or in poly, you talk about careers and all, you just think about how much money can I make doing this in the future, right? You only think about the money aspect point of it. But I think a lot of people fail to realize whether it's going to make you happy, whether it's going to make you feel like you have a purpose in your life. So a lot of people end up earning a lot of money, but they are so dissatisfied with their job. They don't feel like they're happy. And then what's the point? What's the point? You have to like force yourself to go to work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Singaporean lifestyle.
Yeah, it is a very Singaporean
like, thing. Like, recently,
we're the second happiest country.
Yeah, we're recording this on 23rd March. A few days back, we were told that Singapore is the second happiest country.
In Asia or the world?
In Asia, I think.
Asia.
I think in Asia. I'm happiest country.
இந்த மூஞ்சை பார்த்தா பல பல வேர்ட்ஸ் வருது.
How? Where?
Was it on like state news or something like that?
It was from, I think, Mothership posted.
Yeah, Mothership posted.
No comment.
It's a formalized. It's concrete hard news.
I need to know who are the test subjects. Who are the ones who were surveyed? Because if they're serving people at 6th Avenue,
yeah, exactly,
and all this rich estates, கொஞ்சம் அந்த தோப்பாயோ அந்த
கொஞ்சம்
So you say you have you been in the west your whole life? Yes, my parents live in Bukit Panjang, so I was there till I was 22, then I moved to Choa Chu Kang, so west side my whole life, because I like to go to JB. I'm there all the time, so it's convenient. Yeah, convenient.
Yeah, west side is the best side, but yes.
You live in the west as well?
Yeah, Buona Vista.
Oh, okay.
You're at the edge of the radius. It's west.
You transition from the. You transition to amplified beauty.
Yes.
Correct. How has that journey been so far?
Okay, even that was a very big, wow, that was a big leap of faith. Okay, so in between all this, right, while I was, like I said, I was married before and all that. So in about, my marriage lasted about 7 years and then my ex decided to walk out on it. So I faced my own set of challenges the minute my marriage failed, which is firstly my house. And I need my house for my business. That's the main thing, right? So if I lose my house, I will lose my rice bowl, my income. And I am in a very vulnerable state because of the fact that now I am single. I have to do everything by myself. So my divorce happened when I was 29 years old. So as you all know, Singaporeans are not able to own a house as a single till you're 35. So I was thinking, what am I going to do now? I can't move back to my parents' place because I have two dogs, one. And then my parents also have a dog. It would just be very crowded. And I need a place for my work. And this house is not just a house. It's something that is my blood and sweat that I have built throughout the years. So there's a lot of emotions attached to that. If the person doesn't want to work it out, it's okay. You just go. There's no point fighting already. But this is my hard work. And I felt like the structure we have in Singapore with all these rules and regulations is just so rigid. They don't see, like, they don't, like, look into the case to case, but they don't even care to see case to case basis. I went to so many lawyers, so many HDB officers. Everyone told me it's impossible. I said, then you are telling me that someone who wants a shortcut out of his life, which is my ex-husband, who just wanted to sell the house to pay his debts and walk out of the marriage freely. He gets his way and I work day and night. You know, I wake up like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. to go for bridal. And then I don't get to sleep until late at night. And I have to carry my heavy, heavy bags and go. And I'm slogging day and night. And all that is for nothing. Just because somebody wants his shortcut way out of life. So I was like, no, there's no way I'm going to let this go. And I really, really, really fought through it. And like I say, everybody say cannot. Cannot. They just tell you, sorry ma'am, it's quite impossible. You don't have kids, so we have no case to fight for you. Okay, I have no kids. I don't have CPF because I'm self-employed. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to see the MP. So I did. I went to see Mr. Lawrence Wong. He's the MP for my area. Initially, they say, okay, we will look into the matter. Look into the matter. They never give me an answer. Look into the matter. In a way, it was a blessing in disguise that it took me 3 years to fight for the house because when I started appealing for the house, I did not have, like I said, I no CPF. I didn't have credit cards under my name, no loans under my name, nothing. So they were not able to even like check whether I can pay for the house. And so my ex also just wanted to play with the money, the amount of the house, the price of the house. He was just playing with it just so that I cannot get it. he just died, I don't want me to get it. It's not like he wanted it,
mm.
but he just doesn't want me to have it. It's just a male ego thing. Eventually it happens, lah. I don't know. So I was like, okay, it took me 3 years, fine. In that 3 years, I built up my credit score. I got myself a credit card. I did everything proper. And of course, my income also grew in that 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a blessing in disguise. I think more clients started coming. And that's when, in that 3 years, I realized that, okay, I need to start another thing, which is laser hair removal. Because before mm-hmm. that, I was not doing any laser-related stuff. It was mm-hmm. just purely aesthetics. So once I started, the laser business picked up. Because I felt like in Singapore, we don't really have much laser options for Indians. Because most IPL machines are catered to fair skin with dark hair, but not many for dark skin with dark hair. So that's when I did my research and, you know, we really like, I looked through a lot of things and then I tried it on my entire body as a guinea pig before I decided to do it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
So once the laser picked up, people were coming to my house, I realized I need a bigger space because my machine is so huge and then I eventually need more machines. There's no way I can do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was two of my closest friends.
Mm-hmm.
They were by my side throughout everything because it was very mentally draining because no matter how my personal life is crashing, I still have to wake up, show up for my clients every day. One, you cannot run away from that.
Yeah.
So they saw how hard I was working day and night and then they told me, I think it's time, just do it. And in my mind, I thought I will never be able to do it by myself if I don't have a husband support. How am I going to do all this? Like, how? So that's what I was thinking. But they were like, you know what? Just do it, Mani. You can. And they helped me. It's two of my closest guy friends. So they helped me source for the place, source for the rental and all that. And then like one of my friends literally like, he did like a whole chart to show me, okay, this amount can be earned in a month. This is, like, he just broke down everything for me and showed me. And he's like, are you still telling me you can't do it? I was like, okay. I was like, okay, maybe we can do it. So let's go. So he was looking for the place while I was still fighting for the house.
Yeah.
While I was fighting for the house, I really didn't know that I'm going to open a salon because I was telling the MP was that I need the house for my business, which is true. It wasn't a lie. Yeah. It was true. Yeah. Yeah. But then it just happened that business was expanding and I needed a bigger space. So then we found Rangoon 88.
Mm-hmm.
Amplified Beauty was born. The name also was given by my friend. We were just thinking, brainstorming, how are we going to have a new name that is like, you know, like different. And then he just suddenly came out with, hey, what about Amplified Beauty? I was like, okay, we got a name. That's it. Yeah. Okay. It was just like a random dinner. We were just brainstorming, thinking, and then he came up with it. And that's how it started. And so that's how we transitioned from Divine Beauty. C is actually creation by a short form. It. Divine Beauty Creation was transitioned into Amplified Beauty. And so with a whole new set of treatments and all that. Yeah.
Okay, so unga journey, like nariya spontaneous moments la irukku.
Yes.
So, to act on the spontaneous moment, right, you need a special kind of courage. I need to plan everything properly.
Okay.
So I'm the type, I need to plan stuff. I need to see, okay, in the scenario, on the empty pom. If not, never mind. Let's go in this way.
Okay.
But how do you get the courage? How do you get the instinct to act on those spontaneous moments?
Okay, to be very honest, I would have just been home-based till now if my friends didn't push me. So if they didn't push me and they didn't give me the confidence, I wouldn't have done it. Because it's a big risk. I really have like a huge thing with my house and you know I have to pay for the house all by myself now. So I was thinking, can I even afford it? That was like, I didn't want to go into any debts because that's my biggest fear. I don't want to go into any credit card debts. I don't want all that. So I just want to make sure it's comfortable and I can afford everything. But then if you don't leave your comfort zone, you will never grow.
Right.
So that's what they told me. You will grow. And they gave me the confidence. So I'm very grateful for my friends. I really, even though I went through so much with my marriage and all, I really made very good friends after the divorce, which I'm very grateful for. I will tell you that it's all because of my closest friends who were with me throughout those times. Yeah.
So, kada vandu neenga aarambichitinga.
Yes.
How long has that been?
We started December 2022. Yeah, so just slightly more than a year now.
From December 2022 to now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there would have been a lot of ups, a lot of downs.
Yeah, definitely.
Let's start from maybe the best moments. What was the best moment after opening?
When we, the first few days when we start, like the first few, actually not even days, the first month when we started, we were so overwhelmed with the response and the support. I remember it was New Year's Eve, December 2022. And we were so busy. Like, I didn't even have time to pee. I have two staff. And then my friend, who is also the manager, he was there, like, collecting all the cash. And then the three of us, the two girls and me, we were, like, running around handling all the clients. None of us had the time to pee or to take a break or to even eat. And I was like, oh, I remember the end of the day. We all went out that night because it was New Year's Eve, right? And then we just looked at each other and we were like, wow, like seriously, like wow, I did not expect this. Then yeah, so then everything was like, I think a lot of people trusted me. Yeah, they trusted me and they trusted the fact that I have good quality stuff, and I will never betray that trust. That is very important because it takes many years to build that kind of trust with people. So I was very grateful for the, like that moment. I was like, okay, Malini, I think you're on the right track. I think we can do this. You know, it was like such a confidence boost.
Right.
Yeah. So after that, that was one of my wow moments. Yeah. And then we started memberships in our salon. So we have memberships and a lot of people signed up. So we have a lot of regular members as well. And then they get their membership discounts. And then we have like members only promotions. So they'll be entitled for that. And during their birthday months, they have a special discount as well. So a lot of people signed up and I was like, wow, I'm very grateful.
And what were the challenges?
Challenges initially I had was looking for staff. Yeah, because I had to start from scratch. It was only me. I've never had anyone work for me ever. So I had to look for staff, and finding good staff is very important. I was very lucky again. I got good staff. And they are also very passionate about it. So it's not just a job that they come and work and take their money and go. They're also very passionate. They keep track with my clients. They have a good like relationship with the clients, which is very important. And so if, you know, we realize that this person hasn't come in a while, we'll call them. They also will call them, text them and say, how are you? You know, like check up on them. So right. I'm very grateful for my girls as well. Without them, there's no way I can survive.
I had a question. Like, you know, you aarambichad was like 2022.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky time because we were just, I think we were just exiting out of
COVID. Exiting the pandemic.
Yes, so, I forgot about the pandemic.
Yeah. So, so when you're just exiting the pandemic, I think we are still number like fear the
Pokemon
because there's been random spikes here. A few months ago there was a spike.
Yeah.
So like I personally have the fear you Tirupi
close. Correct. And there were a lot of businesses affected.
Yeah.
Especially those in the malls.
So at that time when you were starting, like I would think that you need like or like a bit more courage compared to if, let's say you're starting like 2010 or something.
Backup. I just knew that I don't want to be inside a mall because I will have to follow the mall's rules and regulations with the closing and opening timing.
Right,
I told my friend, don't find a shop in the mall. I don't want a mall.
Right.
I want like a shop house or a standalone shop. And that's what we got. Rangoon 88 is like under a apartment building. Yeah. So we can open anytime. We can close anytime. There's no rules with in terms of that.
What time?
We open 10:30 to 8:30. Yeah.
Rental kuda adhigama irukadhu.
No, it is quite high because it's in central location.
Oh,
yes,
because like Little India.
Yeah, it's further down, just opposite the hospital, Farrer Park Hospital.
Or near the Taste of India, is it?
Correct, opposite that. Yeah, so we're on that side of the road.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, rental prices generally
is high.
It's high.
Even when I was was looking for a house to rent in case I didn't get my own house. Was crazy.
Oh yeah, it was. It was,
I was like,
stupid.
OMG.
That time I was looking at a rental house, like a studio, a studio HDB house for rent. Rental was
1K.
No, 2K.
2K, yeah.
For 25 square meter.
Oh wow. What? 25 square meter.
In Woodlands.
Oh gosh. Okay.
Yeah, Woodlands is supposed to be like
It's supposed to be the cheapest
place.
Cheaper.
Yeah, that area should be cheaper.
I think not cheapest, but cheaper.
No, it is.
Cheaper. Is it
at
considered
that time,
the cheapest?
It was the cheapest when I saw Marsiling.
Oh.
Marsiling there.
Yeah. I think it will become like Hong Kong already. The prices.
Hong Kong?
Yeah.
The prices. It's crazy.
So, spoke about the challenges. What a good part. What was your parents' reaction?
So, thank you for watching Nergale. This is the end of part one. Stay tuned for part two, where you'll learn more about Malini's entrepreneurship journey and the people behind her success.